This is Audible.
Blackstone Audio presents Able One by Ben Bova. Read by Stefan Rudnicki. Able One, Cockpit. Colonel, I've got the fuel bingo calculated. Karen Christopher nodded as she sat at the controls of Able One. Plug it into the flight plan, John, she said to her navigator. Charmin's voice in her headphones sounded reluctant. I don't have really good numbers for wind velocities, Colonel. With the satellites down and all. Give me 3 estimates, said Colonel Christopher. Best case, worst case, and the average between them. Yes, ma'am. In a few minutes, numbers began to flicker on the control panel's central display screen. Christopher watched them scroll by. Then they steadied and held still. In the right-hand seat, Major Kaufman grunted, glanced at the panel's digital clock, then checked his wristwatch. 38 minutes. Then we got a turn back from Misawa. That's the worst case, the colonel said. If the winds don't buck us too hard, we can stretch it another 10-15 minutes. Kaufman said nothing, but the look on his face told Christopher what he thought of stretching their luck. She gave him a faint smile. Think we should put on our life vests, Obi, just in case? That ain't funny, Kaufman muttered. Christopher tapped the side of her helmet where the headphone was built in and called, Brick, anything from Misawa about our tanker? O'Banion's voice replied, Nothing since they reported the bird landed, Colonel. Kaufman grumbled, Misawa can't talk to us, so they send the word to Washington, and Washington relays the poop to us. Hell of a way to run a mission. Communications are snarled up, Christopher said, but inwardly she agreed with her co-pilot. Communications are vital, and this top-secret mission is at the end of a long and very shaky tether. Wind velocity's picking up, son, Charmin reported. With a nod, Colonel Christopher realized that they were facing the navigator's worst-case option. Fuel bingo in 29 minutes, she calculated. Looking out at the swirl of gray clouds covering the ocean below, she thought, If we go down, it'll be into a nasty bit of weather. Ditching a plane this size into a cold ocean in the middle of a major storm. Not a good career move. Harry was sitting by himself in the cramped little galley beneath the flight deck. There were no windows to see outside, but he sensed that the plane was turning, leaning slightly to the left side as it made a wide, cumbersome turn. Are we turning back? He wondered. Maybe I should check with Colonel Christopher. If we're going back, then I could make it known to whoever tried to screw up the mission that he can relax. The mission's scrubbed. As he grasped his lukewarm mug of coffee with both hands, Harry asked himself for the 1,000th time, Who is it? Which one of them tried to stop this mission? Who took that optics assembly? He sat in one of the galley's undersized bucket seats and tried to puzzle it all out. Beam control is Monk's job. He knows the most about it. It'd be easiest for him to take out the lens assembly. But he couldn't have gone up there once we took off. The flight crew would have seen him. Whoever it was must have removed the assembly before we took off, and he hid it somewhere on the plane, most likely. Where? Maybe if I can find the lens assembly, it'll tell me something about who took it. But Harry shook his head. Maybe if I could dust it for fingerprints. Not even then, he realized. Monk, Taki, Wally, even Angel, had enough time to sneak up to the flight deck last night while we were doing the pre-flight and take the assembly.